Part B. In this part of the test, you'll hear six different extracts. In each extract, you'll hear people talking in a different healthcare setting. For questions 25 to 30, choose the answer A, B or C, which fits best according to what you hear. You'll have time to read each question before you listen. Complete your answers as you listen. Now look at question 25. Now read the question.
Okay, your order sheet is in your chart. It's under the tab that's labeled Physician's Orders. You're going to check these orders against your paper MAR. There's two pages to your paper MAR, your routine medicines and your PRN medicines. So first check your patient's name, Sally Gunter, Sally Gunter. Okay, then check for the date of birth, 5841, 5841. The next thing you want to look at is allergies. Sally is allergic to penicillin. Your allergy is penicillin. And you want to go down and you want to verify every medicine that they have. So on the orders, it's potassium chloride, 40 ml equivalents, PO, 3 times a day. Potassium chloride, oral, liquid, 40 ml equivalents, PO, 3 times a day. K-Flex, 250 mg, PO, every 6 hours. K-Flex, 250 mg, PO, every 6 hours. Norvas, 5 ml, PO, twice a day. Norvas, 5 ml, PO, twice a day. Prilosec, 20 milligrams PO daily. Prilosec, 20 milligrams PO daily. When you're looking at your physician's order, make sure it has a date, a time, and a physician's signature. Sally Gunter also has a PRN order of clonidine, 0.1 milligram tablet every 6 hours, PRN for a diastolic blood pressure greater than 90. Clonidine, 0.1 milligram tablet, PO every 6 hours, PRN for diastolic blood pressure greater than 90. Now all your routine meds and your PRN meds are checked against your physician's order sheet. The next thing you want to do is to look here. Number one is compare your order sheet to your MAR and then your initial when once verified. So you would sign your initials that you verified these medicines.
Question 26. Now read the question.
Let's examine this. If I have a fearful thought that I could ultimately lose everything, then it's not going to move me forward. It's not going to help me think clearly. It's not going to help me, you know, move forward and take the actions that I need to take. It can kind of limit me and make me feel like I don't want to do anything because I'm scared to do anything. But what I have found, and this is what I do all the time, is when I'm having a fearful thought, I know that I can't not think about something. Because the more you try to not think about something, the more you're just going to think about it. So you have to replace that thought. And what I replace that thought with is, how can I use this fearful thought or use this fearful event to make me a better person, a better nurse, and to learn from this experience? I'm happy to share this with you so that you can, you know, hopefully learn from my mistakes. So what happened was I realized that I made the mistake, and not only had I made the mistake once, I had actually done it the first time I administered the medication as well. So I thought about it and I was like, okay, well, of course I have to do an incident report. With the mistake, I'm going to show her that I can, you know, not only take care of the situation and have her trust me with her patients, but she can also see that I'm a very confident person and that this mistake won't happen again. So I went to her and I said, you know, I told her the mistake, you know, ultimately told her what happened and you know, it was a mistake and we examined it and, you know, she asked me a few questions and it was an uncomfortable situation. But what I realized was that I came out of that as well as I possibly could have. Having the lack of confidence, you can replace that with, no matter what happens, I will build from this and I will learn from this and I will ultimately become a better person. So guys, it's all about replacing those fearful thoughts with thoughts that are going to serve you.
Question 27. Now read the question.
I was actually talking about culture-bound phenomena and I had a professor of psychology say to me that there's no evidence that culture-bound or cultural illness exists. And I actually said to him, my response to him was that you're absolutely correct. And people were quite surprised and I said, you're absolutely correct in the world in which you live. So you actually can't necessarily blame someone if they've never actually been exposed to it before. So the important point is that if you actually don't have it in a framework that most people, and what I'm talking about is mainstream, can relate to, in that it's actually researched and it's written up in a scientific journal, then they're actually forced to relate to it, or at least open their, you know, mindset up to a different reality.
Question 28. Now read the question.
Hello, I'm Jan Machescu. I called this morning.
Yes, Mr. Machescu, your prescriptions are right here. They've been ready for an hour.
Good.
Now, take these pills 3 times a day. That's every 8 hours.
I usually take them at 7 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, and 1 before I go to bed, about 10 or 11 at night.
That's fine.
When do I take the other pills?
You can take these anytime you feel a pain.
Well, it's almost lunchtime. Is it okay if I take one before lunch?
It's better if you wait until after lunch, after you've eaten.
Well, why is that?
The pills may upset your stomach if it's empty.
Oh, okay. I'll wait till after lunch. I'll take one about 1 o'clock this afternoon. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks very much for your help.
You're welcome.
Question 29. Now read the question.
Right, I'd like to tell you about all the patients on this ward, starting with bed 1. John Smith is a 45-year-old male who had a motorbike accident on his way home from work. He was admitted to the ED at 2300 hours on the 1st of August with a frontal lobe contusion.
Sorry, I don't know that word contusion. Could you please explain?
Sure, in this case it means a concussion.
Thank you.
He has breaks in his right arm and hand and has had surgery, including metal plates inserted into his arm. He also has deep grazes on his left knee and ankle and stitches in his right hip and shoulder.
Stitches in the right hip and shoulder?
Yes, that's right. All dressings have been changed this morning at 900 hours. He's on a self-administered morphine drip
and he's also on an antibiotic drip.
He has had injections to prevent blood clotting and his pain is quite manageable with the medication he's on.
Question 30. Now read the question.
I worked for this man called Graham, that wasn't his real name. He started to hear voices, he had strong paranoid beliefs that people were talking about him, he had to come into hospital. And the main way of actually helping overcome that loneliness and isolation as a result of his experiences was to really enter his world, to develop a shared model, a shared understanding of how these experiences shaped his beliefs and how that made him feel both emotionally and how he reacted behaviourally by avoiding a whole range of situations. It makes me feel really good, actually, and it gives me a tremendous source of satisfaction that actually by relating to somebody, by understanding somebody, that you can actually empower them and help them recover. Without the benefits of professional help, Graham would still be stuck at home. He would still be experiencing rather distressing voices.
That is the end of Part B. Now look at Part C.